So many people hear the term criminal interdiction and they think
drugs, just drugs,
hundreds and thousands of dollars, you know, maybe a large gun load. They think it's just these big, big crimes. Yeah, no. But there's so many other crimes out there that criminal interdiction employs.
Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference. Click the link. Register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference.
111.
This is how long ago I went. Cyber crimes divisions. So yes. You had all these nerds there, like with their backpacks and their thick glasses, and like they were just, but with like
pencil
the
pouch.
Thick pistols and the, yeah. And like their handcuffing pouch. But I was like, you know, what are you guys going to do? They're like, technology, like we're just internet cops.
Yeah.
That's all we do. And like, so we're just computer nerds. I think the worst program there is the IRS agents, 9 months. That's what it was then.
Well, I think the toughest program has to be Secret Service, like the physical aspect.
Well, Secret Service doesn't go there. They go to.
No, they go to Glencoe. Secret Service goes. They have the two. They have one in Glencoe, and then they have the Chetman, Maryland, or.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the two locations. And then Marshall's, they also go there. But as far as like academy wise.
Marshall seemed like they had a pretty tough academy.
Yeah, I've had friends that go to both, and I get the both. The physical ass part is definitely like the most competitive part.
I mean, we were pretty fucking physical for our program. They had a lot of stuff worked in. There was no drill instruction, but we were getting our ass kicked.
Yeah,
we were physical, dude. We were PTing a lot in the heat.
Yeah, and that Secret Service and Marshall, that's all they do is PT the shit out of it. And when you hear them when they run and they do the little chants, they're just going back and forth with each other. That's really.
That's
all
how U.S. Park Police was then. It was just a big.
I'm sure it's changed now.
We were making fun of Secret Service guys and customs.
Yeah,
we actually had a chant. I actually wrote it, and it was like. You are they, we are he, we're not the guys from CBP. And guys are like, that's fucked up. I'm like, but dude, back then,
yeah,
I don't know if this has changed, but they had no physical fitness standards. And that group had like 400 or 500 pound guys. I mean, dude, you go into the shower, like everybody showers together. Yeah. Look like melted candles standing there. Like just, looks like Jabba the Hutt in the shower.
Some big boys.
Yeah, dude. And like a lot of them. So at that time, CBP was trying to, I think, bump up their rank and file, and they're taking a lot of retired cops. So these guys like 55, 57 years old, these old dudes in the academy as recruits, but they weren't like their PT session was like, they had to like at your pace, be on the track for 25 minutes. And like guys just be out there walking, gingerly strolling around. As long as they were moving their bodies, they consider that to be their PT.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, I think they have standards now, especially because of their retirement. I think it's 39 for CBP.
39 years they have to do?
I think it's 39. For us, it's 36 coming in.
What?
But they have 39. They have like some weird, their retirement is a little bit different. It's very similar, but the age I think is different. I think it's like 39 or 40.
Do people actually go there and do 40 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Why would you do that?
I mean, it's an easy gig, customs. I mean,
I get it's an easy gig, but dude, like, you could go somewhere else and be out in 20.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I get a better pension, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's still 20, but I believe that the entry level coming in, you have to be, I think the cap versus like my agency, it's 37. But I think customs, I think they're like either 39 or 40 or 41 and a half, some weird shit. But theirs is a little bit weird for the customs.
So you're talking about age cap, not just
age cap coming in.
How many years do you have to do to get a pension?
They still do 20.
20.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
20 year for a pension.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, it's 20 and or 20 years on the job, age 50. It's some weird thing about the retirement, but it's like 20 and 50 you can go or 25 and like 52. And
I like how these guys are at the federal government baits in with the TSP. That's that's the funniest shit in the world to me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's your salary up to 17% or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm in that boat.
Yeah, I get it. But my point is like, they do that everywhere.
Yeah.
You guys not know that? Like, you non-corporate sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that, and do people like, well, the TSP program is really good. I'm like, or you can get a capable financial investor who'll create a TSP program for you privately.
Yeah. If honestly, people took 5 minutes to just took the time to go Google, research, find a financial advisor, do the proper research. You can actually maximize TSP and you can come out, retire a millionaire if you do it right early on in your
I think everybody needs to career. Submit that they should be smart with their money when they're a cop, but don't anticipate being rich ever as a police officer. And when I say that, I don't care if you're making $250 a year, $300 a year. I'm sorry, folks. Hate to tell you this. You're not rich.
Yeah.
I have rich friends. I'm not rich like they are. I can show you what rich is, dude. I have friends that make $200 million a year.
Yeah, that's rich.
That's rich.
That's rich.
That's rich. I'm not kidding you. I literally have friends. Some people I know are young, making $6-7 million a year. So when you tell me that you've made it and you're loaded and you're doing $250 a year, maybe to like your fucking friends, who are making $65, sure,
or third world country, something like that.
Oh, well, dude, like, I mean, $250, you're a millionaire in fucking Colombia. Doctors are making $60,000-$70,000 a year in Colombia. I'm talking about surgeons. So yeah, you're rich for that. If you want to move to another country, great. But like, don't kid yourself. You're not getting
law enforcement. Yeah, not here in the U.S. No.
No, you're not going to be rich as a cop. I don't care if you're the director of ICE. I mean, the president's salary is what, $450,000, $500,000 a year?
Yeah, it's not that much.
Some of my lowest capitalizing friends are doing that monthly.
That's rich.
And I'm not saying that to sound fancy. I'm saying that because nobody has perspective of what rich actually is until you get introduced into the world of rich. And now I'm in it. Dude, I'm going to an event next week. I'm not really paying to go to it, but this is rich. Like if I brought you to it, and I'll tell you off air what it was, where I'm going. I was invited for free to go just because my personality, people like what we're doing. These people who are billionaires, believe it or not, are pretty regular human beings, and they actually like love the cops. Could have been a group. We probably have 85, 90 people in the group of multi, very, very wealthy people. And dude, they love the fucking police.
Nice.
Like all of them love the cops. All of them. Right across the board. And they just are so interested in this company and what I do. And I'm like the cool kid in the room. And I'm the brokest motherfucker by far. Like
comparative.
I'm,
yeah,
dude. Like cats are dropping great. Yeah. Okay. If you think that being a cop was going to get you wealthy, I'll just give you this. I know for a fact that I missed a party and it was just a fluke. They went out one night to goof off and one guy dropped 100 racks on his credit card one night. So when you're telling me your 250 salary is making your, I'm not saying you're not going to be happy. I'm not saying that you're not going to have fulfillment. I'm saying if you're claiming to be rich because you're making $250,000 or $200,000 or $190,000 a year, I promise you you're not.
Yeah.
I just promise
you. Dude, when I got out of the military, I was looking at doing some PSD work. I was going back overseas to do contract. And I was kind of weighing my options. And I was like, I'm not going to get rich doing that. I'll get some tax-free money for sure.
Yeah.
You know, working in a combat zone.
It's a very dangerous shit. Oh, dude.
So I was like, you know, it's dangerous here too. So like, why go back overseas and just work here?
It's a tough life over there, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is. I had a lot of buddies, man, when I got out of the military, man. I went back to do PSD work or PSS work. So yeah, it was.
Is that still going on stuff out there?
You know, I don't even really know. I'm sure it does, but definitely not at the same levels when we were in wartime.
I know people are going back there a lot. A lot of cops are going over there and doing that work.
Handlers, explosives, stuff like that. I mean, they're always hiring good jobs. Shit, Vegas right now, I mean, they're taking handlers with experience in explosives to go work the hotels, you know, since the shooting in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, like, there's always opportunities. I mean, especially in the canine world. I mean, I thought that's a really unique field in a sense, you know, and, like, there's always a need of handlers, especially on, like, contract shots. You got the Super Bowl events, little big events like that. Instead of going out hiring someone, just have your own guy on board and just go out and do some contract work.
It's interesting, dude.
Yeah.
Things you don't know. There's so many things going on in the world.
There is. Yeah, there really
That's
is.
That's interesting. Yeah. What are we talking about today, Nick Jackson?
I think we said we want to talk about report writing, man.
Oh, is that what we're going to do? Oh, dude, is Mark Taglierini, was he supposed to be here today? Okay, so we'll cut that out.
Yeah.
We're going to do another one about report. You never got that worked out with her? Okay. We'll skip the report writing thing.
Well, first off, I just want to say, man, fucking glad to be part of Street Cop Family Team. I'm going to be teaching, Interdiction Academy.
So, that's a good name.
Got that coming 2024.
Who the fuck came up with that name?
You did. Yeah. Yeah, you don't even want to know the names I came up with.
No, it's all good, dude. Listen, everybody's got their strengths and weaknesses. Nick Jackson go out and knock down major loads on the highway. I don't have that skill set. I'm a good cop.
Yeah.
I could knock down what I could knock down, medium size loads. I have never pretended to be somebody I'm not. Although you might have people who try to say that I pretend to be somebody I'm not. Just understand this. I'm not playing the same game that anybody in this game is playing. And I don't know if that makes sense to you. I'm not playing any fucking games like everybody else who's in the police training game. And let this be a, like, just so to give everybody some context, I'm not playing the same game that everybody's playing. I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, interdiction world, you got to be unorthodox. 98% of the stuff that I learned in the academy, I cannot do that out there doing interdiction, whether I'm doing it at the street level, because I do street level interdiction, or whether I'm doing highway interdiction. I can't use 98% of that stuff on the road. I can't go out there with a trooper hat and here's your license, registration, proof of insurance, my hand on my gun, you know, watch, let me see your hands, you know. It's not going to work in addiction community. You won't even get, you're talking about consent, you won't even ever get consent. I just can't use a lot of that stuff.
You know, it's crazy. We talk about interdiction, but I really believe interdiction is just police work and good and really good police work. And I always, well, I start seminars like this and I got to know my audience sometimes. I did an event last year and I think I rubbed people the wrong way because, you know, we had a complete mix. It wasn't like a proactive group. Everybody got sent to this thing. I was asked to speak at it. And so I said, if an interdiction officer is somebody who goes on the highway and stops crime in progress before it happens or catches somebody after they did something, isn't that what every police officer is supposed to do? So in a sense, if you're not a quote unquote interdiction officer, what kind of police officer are you?
Yeah.
Isn't our top priority to apprehend criminals?
That's it.
And you get these people who get very butthurt. Tickets or top
Yeah, the tickets.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. Dude.
And I get it. I mean, if like we have some officers that are in my state back in New Mexico. Their primary job is highway safety. They get their funding. A lot of tribal agents, they get their funding by writing citations, you know, seatbelts, speeding, child restraint, stuff like that. I get it. But in the midst of that, are they looking past the traffic enforcement action? Are they looking to see if they're also involved in any criminal activity? Or just out to scratch these tickets just to get these numbers at the end of the day. And it's just all priorities. I mean, you said it earlier today. Where are you going to put your priorities? Are you going to focus on writing these tickets and making your supervisor happy? Or are you also going to just, you know, do you want to be the next person to let someone go down the road and you could have prevented some tragedy?
Dude, tragedy.
Yeah.
People don't think that. They think, oh, we're only out here trying to get drugs and guns. Guys,
there's so much other crime.
Yeah,
out
it's
there.
Criminal interdiction.
So much other crime.
It is criminal interdiction.
Fraud,
and it's before,
identity
during,
theft.
After. Yeah. I mean, if somebody's going to commit a mass atrocity somewhere, believe me, if they see you, they're already on high alert.
Yeah.
Trying not to get stopped to go there. And if they see you, they're going to have a reaction. I can't imagine how many times somebody's going to commit a heinous crime and probably pass the police car and that cop didn't even know what to look for.
Yeah.
It's nonstop.
Yep. Like, oh, by the time they finish the stop, they're like, oh, that was odd. You know, that was really, really weird. And then they go to a, whether it's interdiction training or some other form of training, they're like, you know what, man, I had a stop just like that the other day.
Right.
That's probably what that was. And they never took the time to further, you know, ask some additional questions to try to build some RAS. You know, and that could have, you know, got them in the car, got them consent, or, you know, they could be on the way to go kill their baby mother. You know,
right.
they never asked the question.
I'll ask you this question, but I'm going to preface it with this. I know for a fact Kenny has had on more than one occasion found tickets inside of cars that were loaded.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, dude, I don't know how this guy stopped this car 3 hours earlier, hit him with a ticket, and they had 150 pounds of weed in the car.
Yeah.
And then he calls these guys, and they're just like, are you serious? I didn't know. Well, sure. I mean, we don't hold you accountable for not knowing. I didn't know anything about police work until I had perspective, because I never got perspective in the academy. Not one person told us how to do police work.
Yeah.
This is giving out, it was like a big guessing game. Dude, I said it in a video that we'll be putting up on TikTok, like, bro, no bullshit. I was on this search for how I could stop crime. You want to hear most embarrassing things that I ever did as a cop? This is like makes my skin crawl.
What's that?
Oh, dude, it's like this, like, and this is why I think a lot of my passion comes from things like this, because I had no direction. Oh, dude, this is this one. And it's not going to be what you think. It just makes my skin crawl. I was going through our, like, we had like a, like our own website. We can go to where all our stuff on it. We can look at it. It was a secure website for the cops in my town.
Yeah.
So there were city ordinances. So I would look at like what city ordinances we had, township ordinances. You couldn't like skateboard on sidewalks. You couldn't wear earphones while you're like riding.
The smaller offenses.
Stupid stuff.
Civil stuff, yeah.
But I was just looking for what we could do. Like what time garbage cans go in, have to be off the road.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious about all these laws. And one of them had to do with like garage sailing, right? Like you had to apply to the town for a permit.
Yeah, get the permit.
So I remember reading this, and I was driving down West Pond Road where I used to work, and I saw a girl having a garage sale, like out on West Pond Road. And there were like a lot of people coming up, and she was like literally like turned her driveway in the front of her house on this main road in our town into like a mini store. She wasn't selling her own shit. Like she wasn't having a garage sale in the sense that she was like getting rid of her old stuff. Yeah. She was literally opening up a store on her front. I've seen it a couple times. She's literally running a store on her front, like in her front yard every Saturday and Sunday. She had a store. And I went up and shut her down, dude. And I'm so embarrassed about that. Like, I'm so embarrassed about the fact that I was like, hey, you need to get a permit. You're out here every fucking day. You're in my beat. I see you can't run a store every single day out here without a permit. And the reality is like who gave a fuck? Like,
yeah, no one really cared.
Why did I stop that woman from making money for her family? You know, I didn't stop a drug operation. I stopped somebody who was trying to hustle a little bit.
Trying to do some legit business on the side. What probably wasn't even aware of the city permit.
I didn't like write her the ticket. I didn't do anything like that. I was just like, yeah, I'm sorry people complain. I made it up. I was like, yeah, sorry people complain. I'm embarrassed by that, dude. Like I am, but you know, it's those times that have driven the ship of where we're at now of like, guys, there's just so many better things to be doing. And I promise you, dude, because right maybe two blocks down and across the street in this busy road was a 7-Eleven and a gas station. And I'll show you on a map where it crossed. It was literally 2 minutes over the bridge from New York, and every major highway in the state of New Jersey met.
Pass right through.
Right here. This is it. That road connects to two major interstates, like the Garden State Parkway, the Turnpike, and then it connects over to 287, 440. And all these go into New York and all, like, this is the veins of this area.
So basically, the criminal element definitely had to pass through your area at some point, and you were focused on...
It would live there.
Yeah, and you were focused on, someone doing a yard sale.
So I got put into narcotics very briefly. I did not like being in there. I'm not saying that... I would have turned down the position if they would have offered it to me. They didn't want me in there, just so we're clear. Right? I got asked to be in there. I went in. I was very disheartened with it. I think they knew I didn't fit in there because I didn't like the things that they were doing. Not that it was illegal. I was like, this is not what I thought we were going to be doing. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Everybody was kind of their own selfish person in that. Yeah. It's like, really, it wasn't a group priority to go out and do things together. It was,
we get guys in our interdiction team, come out and they realize, hey, this isn't for me. Like, this is not what I thought interdiction would be, or this is not what I thought narcotics would be. And then they just don't work out. I literally got a phone call not even 2 weeks ago. And it's like, hey, man, it was like a guy, buddy of mine out in Tennessee. He's like, man, we got this guy on our squad and he's just not working out. It's just like, what do we do? I'm like, hey, look, man, I recommend that, you have a serious sit down with that individual and figure out what are your goals? What did you think this was going to be? There's someone who could better put you within a department. So that way they still feel comfortable being around you guys. But at the same time, put them where they best serve. Not everybody's built for interdiction. Not everybody's built for K-9. Not everybody's built to be bike patrol. Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is. Not everybody wants to be a school resource officer. So trying to take with a lot of what we've learned in the academy and trying to apply that stuff to the road, it builds different cops by the time they come out. What they thought they got into law enforcement for, by the time they get through training, by the time they get the FTO, get on the road, minds change, directions change, what they want to do in their careers. But I mean, honestly, I think in these turn days, right now, they're just pushing the officers through the academy. I mean, they're just putting guys on the road. Not getting a whole lot of training, and I think that's where it really goes back to like the street cop family, other interdiction or other companies in general and related to law enforcement are just trying to train people the things that they missed out on when they were initially in the academy.
With that being said, that same roadway, bro, that gas station is where I used to then hunt. And that's when I started knocking down and disrupting some major meets.
Yeah.
And how I used to do it was, I'll give a little tip for everybody. I could sit probably two or three blocks down. There was an empty parking lot, but my black and white was very, very visible. You couldn't see into it. So I had somebody go down there and say, hey, could you see me inside the car? I'm going to put my binoculars on. Can you see inside the car? And I did this a couple times, different kinds of weather and different kind of lighting. They said, no, you can't see inside the car. Perfect. So I'd sit there with binoculars and I'd watch people come in. And what I was doing was just trying to see who really was bothered by my presence. And then I'd try to have another person. I was actually working with one of my friends who was in narcotics, working plain clothes. And we'd be on the phone. I'm like, yo, go over and just start looking at this car. Get me the plate off of it. Tell me what you think's going on there. But don't blow it. Don't make it obvious.
Yeah.
And so he could do a little recon work when I noticed the reactions to the police car.
Yep.
And it wasn't like profound where they're like running. They're just like, oh shit, there's a cop. They're like, do we do this here? And I think what they said in their mind was, because if I was them, like, he's far enough away. He's probably writing a fucking report. Yeah. He can't see us.
Can't see.
And dude, we hit some nice stuff over there because that's if somebody went to the city, they were coming out, they come over the bridge, get off. That's your first gas station. Or they'd be cutting through that road to get back to the back other to the major thoroughfares that would go different parts of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great road. It was a hard road to work because it was very, there wasn't a lot of good place to stop cars. You had to catch them fast because there's so much
the
heavy traffic.
The traffic?
Yeah, there's no shoulder on it. It's a pain in the ass because you lose them. You only had about a mile. Maybe a mile. Maybe 3/4 of a mile. Maybe even just a half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a half a mile to try to catch these cars. But there's a lot of traffic, dude. It's not like you just, like you're trying to get out. There's no shoulder to take. Try to catch up to them and they could just disappear.
Yeah, you got lights, traffic volume. Yeah.
So we would, and dude, like we were right there with the borders of our towns too, for the most part. So you had a little bit of opportunity to get them. And we did some good work there. And no shit, I sat like right across the street from that woman's house where I bothered her. You know, and
so
like,
to then target the gas station.
Well, the point is like I'm worried about her.
Right.
Run away. Like, dude, I went to day work. I didn't know what to do. I'm like seeing kids I recognize from the high school and bringing them back to school.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like going into where I used to cut school and like going into the woods and finding these guys and kids and like they're smoking cigarettes and I'm like bringing them back to the principal. Right. Not trying to, like, I wasn't giving them a, like, it was such corny shit. And these kids, like, I don't know what I thought I was doing.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing that. I mean, how many other things were going on in this massive town, busy ass town, that I could actually be interested in? And I was asking a lot of people for help. I would say to people, I would ask other guys around the department, you know, has anybody ever been proactive? You're a big agency. The crazy thing is, nobody's ever been proactive. Like, nobody. An agency that like they thought they were being proactive until I actually learned what proactive was.
Or came and ride with someone that's proactive. Yeah.
Dude, we just got a little perspective. We were the first ones probably, and these guys will tell stories, well, this guy was good. No, they weren't. Like, dude, I hate to say that. They were probably good cops.
Yeah.
They're probably the guys you wanted to show up for like a fight call and like, you know?
And back you up, yeah.
But they weren't good. Or maybe they played in the 80s and 70s a little dirty too, right? Like going in, making sure shit was there, coming back out, then going for your warrant, things like that.
Yeah.
When there were no cameras around. But now you have to play the game appropriately. And I remember asking, and I tell this story a lot, you know, I found a guy who literally doesn't know dick about fucking police work. I'm like, I heard you and so used to be proactive. He's like, yeah, we were proactive. And this guy's fucking clueless. And I can tell you a story how clueless he is. So he's so clueless, he became a narcotics sergeant and didn't know what a pill crusher was. We did a raid on a house. I was plainclothes guy. I'm sorry, I was uniform guy. Used to go out with narcotics when they hit a house. They wanted a marked unit.
Mm-hmm.
You could trust me. I knew what I was doing. We go in. He's like, what is this? I'm like, it's a pill crusher, dude. He's like, what's that for? I'm like, I've been on the job fucking 14 years. Doesn't know what a pill crusher is, dude. Like, doesn't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, people crush pills and snort. He's like, they do that? And I'm like, you're the narcotics sergeant? Right? So anyway, this guy tells me, go up to the liquor store and there's a church parking lot across the street. Sit there and people come into the parking lot, run their license plates, usually hit something decent. And I literally took that advice, didn't know any better, sat out there and was like running license plates. People coming into the liquor store. Problem is, it's not a big liquor store. And his theory was, shitheads drink liquor. Right? That's what his theory was. Shitheads drink liquor. So run license plates at a liquor store. And dude, I was doing that. And I swear to God, it's probably 40 minutes into it. I'm like, this can't be right.
Yeah.
This just can't be right.
No.
And, you know, we actually had to learn on our own. There was no training programs, dude, for guys like us.
Yeah.
There was no, like, if there was any interdiction training, it's like, yeehaw, like, I'm out here in the middle of the desert.
Didn't apply to you guys in the city, like, in the inner city.
Like, and then they're not even telling you what to look for. I'm like, so how did you get to these 20 kilos? They're like, well, I can't tell you, you know, like, come on, bro. Like, why did we come here for this class if you're not going to tell us how to get this stuff?
Yeah. I mean, the whole, all these, you know, air fresheners, you know, single key and ignition, all that stuff, man, that stuff's just so outdated. I mean, it's not what we look for. I mean, I'm a canine handler. I got a single key and I got air fresheners all in my unit, you know?
Right.
So it doesn't apply, man.
Dude, we didn't know what to look for. And then we just started piecing it together. We're trying to grab any little training program we can, taking a nugget. You know, dude, we went to a training course and we learned about pinned out eyes and opioid use. And I swear to God, the first night, Sean Grogan, if you ask Grogan, it was me and him. And we went to this thing together. It was like called Drug Drive. And this guy, Joe, did it here in Jersey. It was actually a good little course that he put on. It's good for us. We didn't know a lot of stuff. We were new.
Yeah.
And we had a Red Dodge Avenger one night. So this kid had a reaction to our presence. We followed him from Burger King. We stopped him. And we saw his pinned out eyes. Not that it was a big grab, but I was like, yo, you see fucking eyes.
Yep.
And we used that a lot, dude. We were actually able to, like, you'd be surprised what that actually would lead to. I think me and Grogan had a job, or me and my old partner, another partner of mine, We pulled over these guys, pinned out eyes. We resolved the fuckload. You know what they were doing? They were going into the, you know, like an apartment complex. There's like a general washer and dryer area.
Yeah. Community area. Yeah, yep.
Like at the basement of the, mm-hmm. of the apartment yep. complexes. Well, they don't lock those doors.
No.
So what these guys were doing was they were going to these things, flipping them over and cutting the copper out of the bottom of the machines. So once I realized the eyes were pinned out mm-hmm. and they were dope fiends.
Yep.
So we resolved a bunch of burglaries that were actually, there were like bulletins going out about these guys. From a traffic stop and noticing the pinned eyes. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. What are they doing out at this time? You know, typically, as weird as it sounds, what I would find is a lot of heroin addicts would only be doing bad things at night and not really out trying to score dope. That's usually an early morning thing for them.
Yeah.
Right, so if you go to Newark, New Jersey, where they're selling a shitload of dope, 21 coming off the highway is just loaded with dope fiends going to buy heroin in Newark. That's the whole, like hundreds
That's
of cars
the
coming. Yeah, it's
yeah.
the hundreds of cars coming in. Literally probably every fifth car coming down the 21 into Newark is buying
coming
heroin.
Coming to buy dope.
Yeah, yeah. So, and talk about, dude, there's 11 million people in the state. You're probably serving, oh, I don't know how many thousands of people a day in the city of Newark for dope. So, and dope, by the way, here is heroin.
Yeah.
It's not one thing that covers all narcotics.
Yeah.
That was an interesting thing for me when I started teaching abroad.
Dude, I had to figure out like kilo for us, or I'm sorry, a brick for us like, in the Southwest.
Time, yeah.
It's a kilo, you know?
We just had it, yeah, so
a brick,
dude.
For you guys is one of the little bags, or it's like 10 in a band is a brick, you know? And I'm just like, ew. Like
the brick's 50.
Or brick's 50, okay,
a
yeah.
bundle.
But they would
yeah,
do
bundle.
Like-
five bricks is a, five yeah, bundles of brick.
I'm, as you see, I'm still learning. I'm like, you know, like my mind, I'm thinking of a brick. I'm thinking of a whole
yeah,
kilo.
Different languages, dude.
Yeah.
Like, people don't call patrol cars here squads.
Yeah, what do they call them? Call them
radio car,
radio car,
unit,
I've heard that, yeah.
Black and white. Patrol car.
Yeah.
Right?
Squad
car.
Yeah.
They don't call it squads. And I remember being in the Northwest and like, yeah, we're my squad. I'm like, the guys you work with?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And like, no, like in my squad. Like, what does that mean? Like your car? I'm like, yeah, that's what. So we don't call it a squad here. We don't call them calls.
Yes. Even the ambulance, what do they call them? Buses. No, they call me a bus. I'm like, what? Like, oh, you want a scoop?
Yeah, no. So in Jersey's another one, we call everything a job.
A job.
Yeah, so a job, you know, you got a hot job coming in. So a hot job's a hot call, like a you know, priority call.
That's crazy.
So everything's a job. I remember when I came here because I had already been a cop elsewhere. I remember listening to a guy tell a story in the academy who was a cop, right? He's like, when you get a real hot job, and I'm like, what the fuck is a hot job? And it was. So we call them jobs here. Like, kind of, what'd you get over there? I was that job with the, everything's a job here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We don't call... Well, New York has the language of a perp because in their penal system, they're called perpetrators.
Perp, okay.
Yeah, so that's why NYPD will call them perps. Here we call them, I think we just call them suspects.
Yeah.
Suspects. But NYPD's perp. Like everything in New York's a perp.
Are you documenting that in a report as perps?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, perpetrators. Because yeah. That's how, like in New Jersey, our criminal code says actor. We don't call them actors here, but that's how it says, like, when an actor commits such a crime.
Yeah, yeah.
They call it an actor, and there they call it a perp.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dude. So, interesting things. John Crew was on last week on the podcast, or 2 weeks ago. He had a job going with some guys, and they're like, yeah, we got 200 bricks coming in. I think it was, like, New Jersey State Police or something. He was doing a job with them. And John's like, what kind of car are they driving? He's like, oh, like a Honda Accord or some shit. And the guy's like, how the fuck are they putting 200
bricks inside this Honda Accord?
And then like, they like, after an hour, is like, wait, hold on a second. What's a brick to you?
Yeah. I did a DHE conference. I just did a little piece on like license plate readers, my portion of the conference. And a guy came up behind me. He was a Connecticut state trooper working narcotics. And he was explaining bricks. And he's like, hey, I know Jackson just came up and he said, you know, this is a brick in Kilos. He showed pictures of this. But he's like, well, this is a brick in Connecticut. And he started showing it. I was like, yeah, dude, that's just mind blowing. Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
But for me, dope, when you say it here, Philly, New York, New Jersey, dope means heroin.
Heroin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everywhere else, dope is everything.
See, for us, dope is everything except weed. You know, weed is weed. Everything else is dope.
Yeah, and then to other parts of the country, dope is weed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I'm like, you putting weed in the dope category? I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't stand it. I hate marijuana cases. But, I mean, we can't avoid them. I mean, we're right next to California. We just went recreational in New Mexico. Arizona just went recreational maybe a couple months before we did, so. We're surrounded by recreational states of marijuana, with the exception of Texas. It's in Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma's recreational, so yeah. Off. Just medical, make
this
whatever
shit,
the hell they
rip
are.
Rip the Band-Aid off, make this shit legal.
Yeah, man.
Except it, now that's coming. Legal, now you got mushrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
But dude, I have to defend mushrooms a little bit because, you know, I really didn't get a lot of context into, you know, what these mushrooms were doing. And like Josh Vidal, who is our guy here who was shot in the head in Atlantic City. When I was out with him to dinner, he's like, yeah, he's like, I actually do mushrooms. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And I'm like, my head, I'm like, he's like, no, it helps me a lot. He's like, it really is one of the best things I've found. He's like, very low dosage in these gummies.
There's a good, legit, I think there's a better medical usage of mushrooms than there probably is marijuana, you know?
But I don't know enough.
Yeah. But I mean, also, from what I do know, I think there's probably more of a standpoint for shrooms than there is, you know, for marijuana. And there's been more cases, I'll say that.
How are we discerning that alcohol is okay, but weed and shrooms is not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, dude? It's like, let's just call it like it is. Let's clear the slate and pretend like there's no laws. Which one is the most dangerous?
Yeah.
Hey guys, follow us on all social media platforms to include Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. We have so much information going on every single day, and we don't want you to miss out on any of that stuff. So check it out. Go give us a follow.
I'm not trying to defend anything, but like, cops here now are allowed to use marijuana in San Jose.
I just found that out actually a few weeks ago. I was like, wow, okay.
But think about it, dude. You know, you go to a tailgating event or a backyard party, and everybody thinks it's okay to suck down 12 shots, you know, 15 claws.
Yeah.
And what happens after that? Everybody loses their jobs.
Yeah.
That's it. But when's the last time you saw somebody like smoke a joint or like eat an edible and like, you know, get reckless and have to get thrown out of a bar
and have
domestic and fight with their wife and or husband and or go out and cheat and do things and like get in trouble and get naked and all these dumb shit that alcohol makes you do.
Yeah.
And guys are like, I can't believe that we have legalized marijuana and cops could use it. And I'm like, yo, thank God there was an alternative to getting fucking flabbergastedly drunk everywhere you go and acting like a complete jackass because that's where cops lose their jobs.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm down with it, bro.
Alcohol, women, and money, man. Or in narcotics world, females. Or the males, you know.
Yeah, it's quickest way to lose a job. Alcohol will get you. Yeah, in police work, alcohol is the first thing that'll get you.
Oh, yeah.
Get you, that's it. Top. Yeah. 99% of, I would say 95% of firings are alcohol related.
I can agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the other 4% is going to be toxic relationships, both men and women. And I would, typically, it's the guys with, because we're male dominated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Profession. But I've seen women lose their jobs because of the psycho boyfriend and, you know, domestics. And I've seen it. Not many, but I've seen it. Typically, they're a little bit better at choosing a partner.
Yes.
Because strippers don't try to hook up with female cops. It's usually the male cops.
It's always the male cops.
We had go-go bars in our town. Like, and we had some really nice strip clubs. And, bro, like, go to a gas station at 3 o'clock in the morning, do a special check. Here's your strippers hanging out, right? Like, getting some coffee or some shit after their shift. Dudes are getting their phone numbers.
That's how it starts.
Married some of these girls.
Yeah.
Marrying strippers, bro. You crazy?
Yeah, that's just a one-way streak to insanity.
Crazy, dude. Crazy stuff. Yeah. Marrying strippers.
Yeah.
Oh, getting divorced. Things ain't good. Oh, you don't say. You married a girl who used to get fucking dollars shoved into her ass.
Yeah, and like you said, we
ain't
rich.
5 hours a night.
We ain't rich, you know, as cops. We're not, you know, and yeah, you get into the, you can't see the barriers right there from the jump. Like, something's wrong.
Yeah, I think people made a lot of bad decisions. But back to the interdiction thing, you know, so different skill sets for different things. We went all the way back to naming the classes where we started. So yeah, dude, you're here, you're coming on board as a street cop instructor. How many years have I been hounding you to come work with this company?
You've been hounding me for over 5 years to come over to street cop. Yeah, so dude. Yeah, we're here.
I just liked you, but also you had the skill set, and I think you're the right guy. And you know, people always say, well, how many interdiction courses are you going to have? Well, how many Italian restaurants are in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Because you go to each one, it's a little different, appreciate different things for it.
Yeah, I mean, everything, especially in the interdiction community, everything is demographical. So, you know, Kenny working in, you know, Indiana on 65, and I forget the other highway that he works, but him working up there, me
70,
working...
70, is it 70?
I think it's 70, I think it's 65.
71, 70, I don't know.
I don't know. I know 165 for sure, but Kenny working up there versus me working on the southwest border, you know, what he sees versus what I see is Jeremy Bedingfield working in, you know, on the southern California area, what he's seeing, what I'm seeing. It's all different stuff. It may all a little bit trickle over to, you know, different types of things
parts
that
of
we
country,
see. Yeah. Factors that we're seeing during these stops. But at the end of the day, it's a different variation. And my job currently is a little bit, you know, unique, you know, so not only am I doing highway interdiction, I do a level of street interdiction. I do rural interdiction as well. So I basically put myself in three categories of interdiction and I utilize all three things. Now, I know that what I do on the highway doesn't necessarily work when it comes relating to the city interdiction. What I'm going to incorporate in my class is talking a lot about consensuals and truck stops and things like that to relate to a lot more people that are in situations like you, you know, roads that are coming off of major interstates or highways leading to gas stations, leading to truck stops, things of that nature to better help, you know, other officers in different areas. Because not everybody works a highway. Not everybody even has a highway even near them or a major interstate, I'll say. And, you know, working roads like US 91 and 160 and US 54, you know, down, I was just doing an operation this past weekend, 54 Highway 70. So everything that I see on 40, I'm not going to see on different highways. So helping guys like that, just get a little bit different perspective. Cause what I do and what Kenny and I do, like he may work one area, I may work one area, but you know, what we do to get to that end goal is still the same, whether I'm working street dope or I'm working highway dope or rural highway dope. It's all the same in a nutshell, but it's just how you apply a certain task and skills in a certain environment will get you to the end result, you know, of basically finding that criminal, whether that criminal nexus, whether it's drugs or guns or identity theft, credit card theft, a missing child, you know, exploited child being, you know, transported, human smuggling. That's a big one right now. It's like, it's all over the country. So no matter what it is, we're going to all see it. It's just different levels and variations depending on when it gets to a certain part or a certain region in the U.S.
A lot of people get their minds wrapped around that they can't do police work unless they're knocking down kilos.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it's so simple and we've dumbed it down so much where you almost inevitably will step into shit by practicing some simple principles of proactive police work, where I don't think you need to try to hang your hat on the idea that you need to hit 5 to 7 kilos a day.
Yeah.
For most cops in the country.
They're never going to see it. Most cops are never going to see it.
It's there, but they're never going to find it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can, we're not dissuading you from trying to find that stuff, but also you should feel pretty good about hanging your hat on the fact that you did the best you could that day and you keep getting better every day. And dude, I got to tell you, I remember having a conversation with somebody that I know and that person was like, I don't run people on traffic stops because I don't want to know if they have warrants or not. And it was real, like, because they wanted, wow, they're so focused on trying to hit high level loads, they didn't want to run people.
They just didn't want to get tied up doing
that. That's
right.
And I understand that in some sense. But at the same time, like, I've hit so many fucked up felons on the run on these traffic stops that I get it. Like, it's not a kilo, it's not 100,000 in cash.
But dude,
I've had full extradition warrants on countless occasions. And I've had these agencies call me, they're like, how did you find this guy? And I'm like, just the simple principles of the law of averages says, at some point, if I hit 15, 20 warrants employing this principle,
mm-hmm,
one out of those 20 is going to be pretty significant. And it's somebody that you all have been looking for. And it's usually somebody who has committed some kind of heinous offense. So I always take the opportunity when I can to make sure that I'm checking somebody if they're wanted or not. Yeah. And dude, you'd be surprised who people find.
Oh, yeah.
They just had an Ohio State trooper. We're going to put it up on our social media. It'll go up before this airs. They have a MS-13 gangbanger.
I just saw that. Yeah,
front seat passenger.
Yep.
Probably not wearing their seatbelt. I didn't even look into it yet. And he's wanted for homicide, multiple homicides.
Multiple homicides, yep. I think he was ordering the homicides.
Yeah.
It was shot caller.
And dude, this was a cold stop.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it on so many occasions. And typically, just for everybody to know, it's try to put your head around this. If you're wanted for multiple homicides, are you going to put yourself in a position to drive a car and possibly have to relinquish your identity to a police officer who most of them know that if you're going to lie, they're going to lock you up and figure out who you are.
Yep, conceal an ID.
So where do you sit in a car? Probably not the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Does it happen once in a while somebody's dumb enough to drive one of these cars? Sure. But it's not typically the case.
Yeah.
So where do you look? Well, around the rest of the vehicle,
yep,
or public transportation or on bikes or on foot. Very unorthodox. But where do you think these people are hiding out? And we have a class coming out. Guy's doing his free program, I think this month. And guy's out of Scranton, PA, and he's teaching a course on pedestrian and bike stops. The laws, the case law, and he has tons of body-worn camera footage and car camera footage of what he looks for and actually what he gets. Craig Meyer talks about this stuff in his class. Do they get profound cases?
Yeah.
Craig interrupted on a foot, like just walking a foot beat, interrupted a in-progress rape. In progress. Male raping another male after he fucking mickeyed him.
Oh, damn.
So he goes over why it's important to get out of your police car, get out of your comfort zone, walk around these parking lots because they see they're looking for the car. They're not looking for the person.
They're looking for the bike or you on foot. Yeah, 100%.
So I just want to relinquish some ideas to everybody listening who's like, oh, I don't get 25 kilos. I'm not a good cop. Folks, there are so many people who are wanted. That alone. And when you start focusing on that, things really stem from that. So you'll sometimes find a gun on the person's waist that was tied to the murder, and you're going to get real recognition, or you can go back into the car now and then find that kilo that was in there as well. It's a real good place to start if you can see yourself as somebody who goes on the road, you have little to no training, who can employ a tactic where we can get ourselves in a position to request, one, identification for somebody in the car, or two, command and compel identification from somebody in the car who's not the driver.
Yeah.
So seatbelt violations, littering violations, this stuff will put you in a position to make sure that you identify who they are because they're subject to a ticket. And if they lie, you can lock them up and then figure out who they really are. And let me tell you something. When you're wanted for murder, you're going to lie.
You're going to lie. Yeah. You're not trying to go back to jail.
You're not for the rest of your life either, right? You might have somebody after a little bit of pushback on some traffic warrants give you the name or tell you, I got a warrant out of in this place for a traffic warrant. But people who are really wanted, serial burglars, serial killers, they are not going to tell you who they are if they have warrants for the rest.
No.
So it's your job to learn how to work through that process. But I'm telling you, for me, it's so easy to do because you can sit on the side of the road, essentially just look for people not wearing their seatbelts. Here's the beautiful part about this. If you have a good license, no harm, no foul. We're not writing tickets. Hey, guy in the back. Hey, you're state of New Jersey, you got to wear a seatbelt in the back seat. It's not a big deal. I just need to see your ID real fast. I got to put your name into the computer and just make sure that I just have to put in the notes that I told you. The boss wants me to say like the name of the person I told to put a seatbelt back on, run a seatbelt. This is the game I used to play all the time.
Yep.
So if I'm not giving you a ticket, I just got to put that. They want us out here and tell people their seatbelts on in the back. Yeah. And they didn't know. And people are like, oh, really? And like, you know, most people, I don't want to say most because like obviously I was adding more to that than just randomly picking cars. But I'm saying you could randomly do this and have great results. I could literally sit out here on the side of this road out here today. And if we had an 8-hour shift and I had 10 patrol cars to work with, if everybody started stopping cars for passenger violations and then compelling identification from passengers, I promise you, we'd probably clean up 15, 20 bodies today.
Yeah, easy.
And significant ones. You're going to get your couple fucking bullshit.
Ticket violations, child support. Yeah,
stupid shit like that. But essentially, what you can do is, if your license is good, it's like, hey, man, cool, thanks, I appreciate your time. Here's your license back. Just make sure you wear your seatbelt.
Exactly.
It's usually a $54 fine. I don't want to do that to you. Just keep the seatbelt on, dude. It's no big deal. And what are they saying themselves? This is great.
The nicest cop ever.
Oh my God. Like no ticket. Could have gave me a ticket. So there's gonna be no complaints. It's super professionalism. But I must forewarn you, when you say it like that to somebody and say, hey man, listen, I just need to get your name. If you have your ID, I just want to get your name in. I just got to put notes into my computer. So I talk to you. The boss wants names on the computer, like our little notes thing. If they're like, but for what though? Now you got a guy with a warrant.
Yeah.
Because who the fuck is gonna give you a hard time about, you're not getting a ticket. There's no repercussions. I just need your name. It's the guy with the warrant. So when somebody's like, I need to see your supervisor, it's because they probably have warrants for the rest.
We literally just did an operation, I don't think 2 weeks ago. And sure enough, female passenger, they're in like a 96 Buick. I probably would never stop this on a highway interdiction. But when we do a lot of local stuff, I have to change courses on what I'm looking for. And sure enough, three of them in the car, stop the driver, bring them back, go through my enforcement action, go up, talk to the passenger, no seatbelt, tell her why I'm needing her ID. And she's like, hey, well, I don't feel like I have to give you anything. I don't want to give you my name, you know? And she's clenching the purse, trying to close it up. And I'm like, she's got warrants. Long story short, gave me three different names. I played the game, you know, finally she gave me the real name. She's got two full extradition warrants, you know, for narcotics.
Did she give you credit for that? Did she give you dabs later on?
I told her after I went through, I was like, hey, give me your name. Hey, give me your social. Give me your date of birth. Okay, cool. I turned around, took like three steps. This is my little thing. I turned back, hey, I think I wrote this wrong. Can you give me your name and date of birth again? Because then I think they gave you the information, but they can't recall what they gave me a few seconds before. So I do the step away and come back. And I was like, okay, well, that wasn't what you gave me before. Oh, no. It's 93. Okay, cool. And I know she's lying. Let's go back. Yeah. I play the game. I run, hey, there's no record on you. You know, how old are you? You're 34. That's not common. You should come back. You know, so yeah. And then finally she goes through the deal. She finally gives me the real name. Actually, she didn't give me the real name. The buddy she was with, I said, hey, man, what's your homegirl name? He gives me her name and I say, hey, Courtney. And she turns around, huh? No, that's not my name. I'm like, I got you. And she finally gave me the real name at that point.
Did she say, like, yo, you got me? Like,
yeah. I told her, I was like, I know you're lying. I was like, we either can do it here or we can do it at the station. You're going to jail one way or the other now at this point. And finally gave me a name. But yeah, she had two state, national, or nationwide warrants for narcotics and in possession.
Those theories are so true for newer cops. I can't tell you how many times I saw cars that I maybe typically wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And I stopped them and I'm like, well, there's not really much going on. I got a minute. Let me just see if I can grab an ID from this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you think this girl's like going to work? And bro, like parole violator, like walk. Yeah. I had a girl who was a walk away from a halfway house. So she's she was an inmate who fled and was on the run for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I don't think this girl was like, like, dude. So this guy's like, yo, I just met this girl. I was going to fuck her. And I'm like, he had condoms. He's like, I got the condoms. I'm like, do you even know her? He's like, nah, not really, bro. He's like, I'm going to fucking, he was actually going to the convenience store when I pulled him over.
Yeah.
So I saw them. I was like, all right, now he's dipping on me because I'm right behind him.
Yeah.
He's going to the convenience store. So let me light him up, see what's going on in this car. She had no seatbelt on. And he was legit. He just didn't know her. He just met her. She could have been like a stripper. I think she was stripping.
Okay.
And then maybe fucking like working, being a hooker on the side some shit. And he was going, dude, he's like, I'm going here to get condoms. And I'm like, he wasn't lying. He was definitely telling the truth. I felt bad for him. He's like, I'm like, well, it looks like you're going to be jerking off tonight, bro. I don't know what to tell you. So she had a walkaway parolee on the run for like 2 years. And she was fucking pissed. And she's like, what the fuck? Blah, blah, blah. Play the scream in the back of the car. Then she was like emotional roller coasters. But then she comes back to headquarters. She's like, yo, she's like, I'll get out in like 9 months on this. She's like, you should come see me. And I'm like, I'm good. I was like, yeah, sure. Where do you work again? She's telling me the name of the place. Yeah. I'm like, this is why I don't go to strip clubs. Because, dude, we end up locking up so many strippers, like, all the fucking time. So, if you just employed that tactic, you would get good at...
make some good arrests.
And being exposed to the criminal element when people are lying about who they are. Just, you have to know the process of what you got to put them through and what your options are in order for it to work.
So many people hear the term criminal interdiction, and they think...
Drugs. Just drugs.
Hundreds and thousands of dollars, you know, maybe a large gun load. They think it's just these big, big crimes.
Yeah, no.
But there's so many other crimes out there that criminal interdiction employs. I mean, we don't even call our unit criminal interdiction. We just call it interdiction. We're going out and just to interdict. You know, whatever we get is what we get, you know, because there's a variety of crimes that we get. I got a stolen car a few months ago. I literally thought the car was going to be trapped out, you know. And I get in there, get the story. Everything sounded like he was a smuggler. Like he was running a dope load. You know, didn't know the name of the person who owned the car. He flew from Denver out to Phoenix, source area for drugs, right? In my mind, it's a K-9 handler working in I-40, taking a car back. He's dropping it off at a Walmart. He's going to be leaving from the Walmart, and then, you know, he's going to find another way home. I'm thinking, okay, he's dropping the car. The car's going to get loaded. He's going to come back to the car. Everything's processing in my mind like it's a dope load. Come to find out, it's just a stolen car. You know, I run the VIN. VIN's been swapped. VIN, run the true VIN. VIN comes back stolen. I'm like, hey, dude, you know, I thought it was going to be dope, but you're in a stolen vehicle, so it's part of a theft ring. Never know what you're going to get, you know, but they just hear this term interdiction or criminal interdiction, and they think it's all drugs and all guns and all money, and it's not. It's really not.
I miss it, dude.
Yeah.
I miss the game.
Come on for a ride, man.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, you're too boring for me.
You know what? Some guys come out and ride with me, and they'll be in a car for an hour. What about that car? What about that car? I'm like, no. Just hang tight.
No, I get it.
I'll tell you when we're ready.
I wish I could, dude. I wish I had the time to do it. And I think I'm such a control freak.
Yeah.
That, like, I'd be down with it, but, like, for me, I just miss the game of, like, I think I just miss a good day in patrol.
I think I can get you out there. 2024, I'm going to get Dennis come out and do a ride along.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But, I miss, like, just that. I got you, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I passed up so many opportunities to not leave the road. I just love the road, man. I don't ever see myself coming off the road. I just love interdiction, and I love running a dog, you know?
I have so many stories. Crazy. I don't know if I told this story before, but I used to buy, for our uniforms, I like having a nice-looking uniform.
Yeah.
I was a built guy.
Did you get it, like, all tailored, like Texas, Oklahoma trooper?
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, big arms, yeah. Mohawk. Like, I was that guy, bro. And I would also, but I wasn't, like, I didn't shine my shoes or anything like that. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I kept them clean. I used to go to the shoe guy in my town. $7, he would hit us. You give him the shoes, and then, of course, you know what happens an hour later, right? Foot pursuit in the mud.
Oh, yeah. Scuff.
Yeah, no, just foot pursuit in the mud.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Like, and then I'm back the next day.
For you guys up here in the city, yeah.
Oh, yeah, forget it. You guys are filthy down there. The desert's just all dirt.
It's all dirt.
So you can't keep anything clean there,
right? No. Thank God my uniform's tan.
Yeah, dude. Well, so we would buy these pens. They only sold them at like Office Depot or Office Max. And they were, I forgot what, like Pilot something. But I like the way they fit. They didn't ride up the pockets. Mm-hmm. And I like the way they looked. It was just two silver pens. Yeah. And dude, they, you know, you use them a lot. So I lost one maybe in a fight. I go buy a couple of $7
swap
for two,
it out.
Right?
Yep.
I'm at Office Max and I'm literally in uniform behind this girl and she's returning this crazy shit. Like none of it made sense. Like stuff that like this girl, what I'm seeing, who clearly is a criminal in some sense, she doesn't look like the professional she should be.
Yeah.
To be returning some weird computer part. Right? This is not like I'm looking at this girl, I'm like, this bitch don't work in corporate, right? Like, get the fuck out of here. And she's returning like 20, 25 of these things. And I'm looking at the price of like $50 a piece. So as soon as she walks, so I like kind of look outside and I see two dudes in the car outside and I see fucking New York plates on it. We get murdered by New York. They come over the bridge, they do their shit, and they go right back over because we're so over. Close. And by the time we try to catch them and they do like,
they're gone.
They'll switch the plates out, come back another day. And I'm like, so as soon as she walks up, I go, what are these things used for? And the guy gave, he's like, I'm like, what? He's like, I'm like, do they typically go shoplifting? He's like, we get killed in these things nonstop. Sorry. I didn't pay for the pens. Like, I'll be right back. Go in a car, put in a parking lot. Now I'm like, they see me. The other two, I guess I don't know why she still did it while I was there. I would have just walked off if I was her.
Yeah.
I see her. They see me. I run the plate. The plate's no good on the car. So, dude, I ended up getting a warrant for the car. So we locked them up for the theft. Get a warrant, pop in the trunk of the car. And dude, there was probably $25,000 worth of merchandise from Home Depot in the trunk.
Damn.
Yeah. And so like, it's just a matter, I had a guy, I was off duty, dude. I saw a guy come into PC Richards, which is a electronics company up here.
Okay.
I'm off duty, I was actually out injured. And I went to PC Richards to get something. I knew the manager there. This guy come in and he goes, let me get that iPad over there, da da da. So I see him take his credit card out. I'm literally standing there and swipes it really quick and puts it away. Well, that was weird. Right? Whatever. I'm off duty. So the credit card worked. Comes back in 2 minutes later. He's like, I actually needed a second one. Can I get the other one? The guy takes it off the thing. And I'm like, So I actually take my phone out and I go into the parking lot and I'm recording them. I probably had my pistol on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm recording the license plate and I'm recording them in the car. And they knew it. And so I called headquarters in town where I worked. And I go, hey, can you send somebody over here? These guys just committed fraud. Here's another one. Burglary solved.
Yep.
I'm off duty. This dude broke into somebody's house. I got the picture of him and the other guy broke into somebody's house, stole this woman's purse. 45 minutes earlier, I just happened to be off duty and see this
just
and notice
to see it. Yeah.
And he's doing credit card fraud. So not only did we solve credit card fraud, we also just caught a guy who's been burglarizing houses on what? Recognizing that nobody buys two iPads. Nobody goes in and buys an iPad.
Yeah, you know how many iPads you're going to get.
Right, dude, it's a big purchase, bro. Yeah. I'm not like...
That's at least a grand. Yeah.
They're expensive. Let's call it at least $400. You got kids, right? Your kids got to have iPads already, right? Dude, I got four kids, bro. If they want new iPads, we're talking about $2,000 around, you know.
I got twins. I know if I'm going in, I'm getting two.
Hi, dude. But my point is like, nobody's like, oh yeah, I forgot to get the second one. Yeah. No, you're going in. So I don't want people to get caught up in this idea that you need to hit kilos. Like there's so much work to be done.
I teach that now. I tell guys, like, I'm going to show you some stuff. Yes, you're going to see kilos. Yes, you're going to see large quantities of cash. But you're also going to see other stuff. I try to let them focus on that. It's more than just drugs and guns. There's so much criminal activity out here. The warrants are really big for us in the Albuquerque area. We're pretty high up ranking in stolen vehicles. So we get a lot of stolen vehicles. We get a lot of identity theft. We get it all. You know, there's so much property time.
Everybody does, dude.
Everyone, guys, tell
themselves this story of like, nah, it's not here. It's hard to find stuff. And I always tell them, I could send Nick Jackson, Brad Gilmore, Rob Ferrero, Kenny Williams, any other interdiction guys to your area and let them hang out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there like Kevin McAllister with your hands on the side of your cheeks like this. It's a Home Alone reference for the younger guys.
Oh, yeah.
With your mouth open going, I can't believe they found this stuff. It's here. The question is, why are they seeing it and you're not? And here's the beautiful thing about that. They're willing to share with you what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And people would rather endure the pain of going out and trying to figure this out for 3 to 5 years rather than cough up the $300, $250.
Get training.
To go get training and save themselves 3 to 5 years. Dude, I'm in a mastermind group. Pay a lot of money to be part of that group. Not a lot of money to the guys who are in it. Just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am on a cheat sheet that is way more money than anybody's paying to go to our classes.
Yeah.
because I understand that I can either try to figure it out myself or go right to the men and women who have already done it.
I personally know people, officers, that make the money, that can afford to go, and they just, well, my agency won't pay for it, I'm not going to go.
It's crazy. You
know? And it's just like, man, when I first started out, my agency, they wouldn't pay for it either, but I had the cash. I went out, saved up for it. You know, I could probably only do one a year at the time. I pick a class and I go to it, you know, and over time I got better by just paying for training out of pocket. You know, so I tell guys, hey, look, you know, agents, don't look for your agency to invest in you and make you better, make yourself better. Go out and get some training. Go get some formal training, get a certificate, something you could testify to. Because guys think you can learn from Facebook and, you know, we put out tips and tricks and stuff, but you can't testify to that. Go get some real training.
There's a perspective. I think that's the number one thing is like gaining perspective of what is really going on. When you think the world is this big, you realize that it's 28,000 times the size. And I'll give you an example. Recently, with my mastermind group that I'm a part of, bro, I sat down and they're just like, you're not thinking big enough. And I'm like, fuck. It's just those little things. And I'm like,
yeah,
you're playing. And what's crazy, as soon as something like that happens and the floodgates open, today I was watching an Alex Hormozi video and he tells this story about Warren Buffett and one of Warren, well, it's a Warren Buffett story. And a classmate of Warren Buffett's who said he's smarter than him and worked harder than he was. And at the end of their careers, Warren Buffett is worth, I don't know, $200 billion essentially. He's been giving away $50 billion at a clip to charity. But let's face facts, he's probably one of the most successful people in the history of mankind. And he said to him, you know, it's not about who works harder. It's about the boat who rows faster. It's the boat that you choose to be in. So it's a thing to think about. And it really applies to police officers. Like, what are you trying to do? Who are you trying to be? And why are you waiting for people to pick you? But if you're trying to be an interdiction guy or go out and catch bad guys, why are you writing tickets? Why are you messing around with people and running random plates on the side of the road when you have tons of traffic to choose from?
You're working backwards. You're not working forward. You're taking two steps back instead of two steps forward. And I get it. There's departments that require it. It is. It really is.
It's perspective. Like, I didn't, the years that I lost because nobody had training, nothing was available, we didn't have the internet.
I wish I had the knowledge knowing what I know now coming out of the academy. But I can tell you, like, the loads and stuff that I know, or the crime and just in general that I know I miss. I'm like, man, I wish I had this knowledge. You know, I wish I would have paid more attention to the passengers and, oh man, that was odd, you know, like, and never further investigated, you know, or, you know, guy goes out and stops my car and I had a traffic ticket in it and it had something criminal element in it, you know, and I wish I would know the knowledge now. But now I make it a point to never let that ever happen to me again and train guys, you know, when I'd stop cars and find their tickets and it happens. It's happened to everybody. Some of the best interdictors out there have missed loads.
To this day,
it happens. And, you know, this is what it's all about, just going out and just continuing that education, keeping up that good fight, brother.
Dude, I think that's tenacity and aggressive patience is important in any game. And, you know, you just have to, your time goes fast.
Yes.
I had a guy in a podcast last week and he's a great guy. And, you know, a lot of things that I've been looking at is like 10 years, these, and right about where we are right now, essentially, I spent about 5 years ago, I really put 100% of my focus into this company and release the other things I was involved in business-wise. And so we're probably at the point now where we're really starting to feel some bumps and bruises in some sense, but the person who toughs it out and never quits is going to come out. And that 10-year mark 5 years from now is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Dude, it's getting interesting now. I mean, just to hear, sometimes I hear like of people that we all know who are not even in our space who are like, yeah, now they're a big fan of your podcast. And I'm like, that guy? Like, yeah, dude, they know who you are. And I'm like, really? Because, like, I don't feel like it's like that sometimes.
Yeah.
So I tell this story to let people know that, yeah, it might take you a year and a half to get good at this, but it goes by pretty goddamn quick.
Yes, it does.
And hard work always returns something.
Yes, it does.
It just does. Like, you can take those skills and bring them elsewhere. If your agency doesn't appreciate your work ethic, I promise you there's agencies out there that are looking for guys and girls just like you.
Oh yeah.
But you gotta be willing to leave and go where you belong.
I'm that guy. I left a couple agencies trying to get to where I am today. So 100%, you know, you have to do something that's tough to get to where you want to be. It may hurt. It may be crappy. You have to start all over, start as the rookie again. But eventually, you know, if you're in the right agency, you'll get to where you're trying to go.
If you're scared of it, that's exactly where you should go.
Yes.
That's exactly where you should go, dude. I got invited to this event. I mean, dude, it's today. Today's Friday. I'm supposed to go to Puerto Rico next week. And the guy called me today. He's like, hey, there's an event going on in Puerto Rico. I want you to come. It's a very exclusive thing. And I want to introduce you to some people. I think it's important for your business. And I think you really appreciate it. That's important for everybody here. You know, I'm doing that on behalf of the police world. And I'm like, how many people would literally get called, be told to be in Puerto Rico a week from now, it's important, and put that together? And dude, I'm like, well, tell me what your itinerary is so I can like know. And then we hung up the phone and 30 seconds later, I booked my flight and I sent it to him. And I booked it. He's like, oh, for real? I'm like, dude, I'm not playing. Like, even if it doesn't work out, and I actually forfeited something else that I was supposed to do. I had to call that person. I was like, hey, it's not going to happen. I'm going to go to this other thing. I have to prioritize.
Yeah.
I want to do it my life. But I don't know anybody going to this thing. I'm going on a fucking boat, essentially, middle of the Caribbean. You know, I don't even know the guy that invited me. I don't know him that well. Just part of my other group. And just is what it is, dude. I get thrown off the fucking ship in the middle of the ocean. That was a whole ploy, or I become, you know, the the guy that they hunt for fun, whatever it may be. But I don't let my anxiety dictate my decisions, and maybe something amazing will come out of it.
Yeah.
So just work.
That's it. Go work. Put in that hard work, man. It'll pay off.
Yeah.
It will pay off. You know, maybe not as soon as you think, but it will pay off.
I appreciate you being here, dude.
Love being here. Jersey.
I bet you do.
Dude, yeah. I do, right, brother.
I'll see you guys. Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at streetcop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at streetcop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.